This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Outspoken. Now, with the weather getting warmer, a lot of influencers are promoting the fact that they're getting their summer wardrobes ready for somewhat of a hot girl vax summer. Now, one item on the top of their list seems to be belly chains. I keep seeing these all over Instagram. Molly May was posting about it. Madison Woolley was talking about it. Kylie Jenner's got them. And I keep hearing the word belly chain, but I didn't really know what it was. I had to Google it. And it looks like it's basically a thin necklace for your belly, which I suppose makes sense with the name.
Originally, I thought it was a chain that hangs off your belly button ring. But as you say, Kate, it looks like some sort of necklace. And it's really coming off the back of low-rise jeans also coming back in fashion, because obviously you can show off your belly button chain in it.
Well, it's all about showing off your midriff, isn't it? And that's what the 2000s were all about.
Yeah, I've seen J-Lo wearing them back in the 2000s and it looks great on her. But for someone that has an outie belly button like ourselves, I can't say I'm going to be wearing a belly button chain. I just can't see it myself.
Can you imagine how uncomfortable this must be in summer? Because you know when materials heat up? Like this could be quite scorching across your stomach.
Can you guys imagine visiting your grandparents in a belly chain? Because they're always the first one to point out how stupid you look. I feel like it would just be horrendous.
What do these things look like when you sit down as well? I feel it would be quite unforgiving.
I'm really excited to be talking about my brand today and finally revealing and sharing with you guys this project that I've been working on for such a long time and something that I have put so much love, time, effort, passion, and money into.
YouTuber Madison Woolley has revealed she lost a lot of money following the launch of her clothing line 23rd and Madison. Speaking on her podcast, the 23-year-old told listeners she regretted her decision to sign on with a brand agency to manage her clothing line. Amy, can you tell us what happened?
Well, back in November 2020, Madison launched 23rd and Madison, and at the time it seemed like a very independent project. She launched a YouTube video where she showed her fans the behind the scenes of her setting up the clothing line.
Yeah, and it very much seemed like she was quite hands-on and doing a lot of the menial tasks, like setting up the website, setting up the Instagram account, making notes of alterations she wanted. Mm. And there was a real vibe that this, as you said, was an independent project. And she did refer to having a team on board that were assisting, but it was never really clear the relationship with this so-called team.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed very different because if you think of other influencers who've been involved in clothing line launches, I mean, I instantly think of someone like Sarah's Day who partnered with White Fox Boutique. So it did seem, as you said, like an independent project. So I was quite surprised to hear Madison say that she did have a big brand agency on board helping her.
Well, I think it's also the fact that she has a business degree. So that's what made me also think that maybe it was something that through her experience in that she was able to launch on her own.
Yeah. So Madison didn't actually name the agency in her podcast that she had been working with, but a quick Google search reveals she was working with an Australian agency called Celetica. And this company also manages Chloe Zepp's line, Zepp. So that's probably one of its most well-known clients besides Madison. So basically, this is a company that handles every small detail for a brand. So if you're an influencer, you can basically go to them and say, this is my idea, and they handle everything. So they have manufacturers, they have their own designers, in-house marketing team, and they handle all the orders and back-end tasks. So it does sound pretty incredible if you're an influencer wanting to start a brand.
I don't know if this is naive, but I didn't realize that Zepp wasn't an independent brand either, because have they moved away from Celetica as...
No, they still do stuff for Zepp. And it actually cracks me up because I do remember in one of Mitchell Orville's vlogs, he said how lazy Chloe is with all of her work. Like that, they were his words that she's lazy. And it's kind of the perfect company for a lazy influencer, really, because it sounds like they just literally do everything for you.
Well, to be fair, I don't think that Madison signed on to this because she was being lazy.
No,
I think
neither do
that if you're a young person starting out in the fashion world and you don't have much experience or knowledge, you probably are looking for someone to give you a bit of a helping hand. And she did explain that it was quite an expensive process and said that you really did have to have a lot of money if you wanted to work with a branding agency like this. And it does make me mad because it sounds like this agency really wasn't doing much for her.
So Sophie, I disagree because I think this may be a case of Madison's following actually not being what it says it is, because I know Madison likes to pitch herself now as a lifestyle influencer. However, as she mentioned on her podcast, she did start out by posting a lot of bikini photos and getting a lot of male attention. Now, there is a lot of speculation around the fact that it seems to be that her audience may be predominantly male. And I do think the fact that this brand hasn't been financially successful really is a nod in the direction that perhaps her audience is actually predominantly male and females aren't interested in buying clothes from her.
Well, she did mention that she was paying a retainer fee and implied that there were some months where she was paying, but there were no sales coming in. So I do wonder whether, as Kate said, it was affected by her following, whether she does have that young female audience.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely could be the case. Another angle could be that because she didn't have full control over the brand and the marketing spend, that she may have felt like marketing wasn't being directed in the right places. But I suppose for a brand agency that focuses on influencer brands, they would expect that a lot of the marketing would be organic from the influencer. Mm.
Whenever I post their comments on my story, they then say, "You're bullying me. You're a bully." No, I'm not posting your own fucking words. Let's do some more. It's endless.
Abby Chatfield has broken down on her Instagram story after naming and shaming anti-vaxxers for trolling her. The 26-year-old has experienced relentless abuse since she became vocal about advocating for the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, Kate, what has sparked the latest round of abuse?
Well, Abby uploaded a funny reel to Instagram where she spoke about her impending freedom due to being vaccinated and poked fun at anti-vaxxers who won't be able to do anything. Let's throw to the audio from the reel.
My next outfit that I think I'm going to choose while you guys are doing freedom fighting. I know you're busy, but like, again, I just want to go for a holiday with my friends. I think to Byron. I'm thinking like down at the beach hotel, me having a drink, fucking random people because I can. What do you guys think about me traveling regionally in this outfit, unlike the unvaccinated people? I don't know. I think it's cute. It's a vibe.
I thought the video was hilarious, but I, as expected, a lot of the anti-vaxxers did not like it, and there was a lot of backlash. So poor Abby copped a lot of vile messages, so much so that she actually had to restrict the comments on her page. So a really good tip is that you can turn your comments off so you only get them from people who follow you. And it seems to be a bit of a trend now that influencers are doing this. And I think it's a great way to protect yourself. However, the anti-vaxxers still seem to get messages to her via DMs. And unfortunately, the abuse didn't stop. One person threatened Abby, saying to watch her back, and another wrote that someone needs to cancel this freak show.
The thing that's so ironic about this reaction is Abby is just showing what the reality of the situation is. If you are not vaccinated, you are not going to have the same freedoms and rights as everyone else. I don't know why everyone is hurling their abuse at Abby. It's the reality of the situation.
Let's be honest. I thought the video was hilarious, but she was obviously trying to rub it into anti-vaxxers that they won't be able to do these things as well.
Well, it's a way to encourage people to go out and get it done.
Mm. No, I agree. I think it was great that she shared it, but it was sort of like waving a red flag in front of a bull.
I can see what you're saying, Amy, but in no way does it make any of these messages right. And it's kind of disgusting to me that it seemed to be a lot of females sending her these messages. So another woman wrote, "Fuck, you're the putridest slut ever. Look at how desperate you acted on The Bachelor, and now to think that you have the right to joke of anyone choosing to think differently. You're not funny, hey. People are allowed to choose what to have in their bodies. Why try and make it funny? Laughing my ass off, your life will never be the same again, you dumb mutt. If I ever see you, I'll dead set kick you in the fucking head. You're the putridest." Now, the complete irony of this is that this woman sent Abby a DM a year ago saying, "You're too beautiful and amazing." So how quickly things can change.
So Sophie, how did Abby react to all of this?
Well, she ended up screenshotting the vile messages and sharing them on her story without blocking out the people's usernames. And she said she had no regrets about singling people out that attacked her online. This is what she said.
"You want attention? You want to feel like your comment matters? You want to feel like you're seen? You want to know what it feels like to have 100,000 people watching your stories every day, seeing what you have to say? Here we go. Enjoy. Enjoy our platform. Enjoy it."
I love how these people all claim they're getting death threats. Show me one. They always do this and say, I'm getting death threats. You're getting death threats. Show me one. Send me a screenshot. I'll out that person as well. But you're not. You're not. I've received death threats for 2 years of my life. You haven't. They're saying that it's my fault. It's actually not. I posted your DMs. So if you don't want someone to post shit, don't DM it to them. Tragic.
Yeah, well, Abby broke down and said the whole situation was triggering and taking her back to the days she was portrayed as a villain on The Bachelor and the hate she had received online. This is what she said.
Also, to all of you fuckwits, you can't wrap your head around it. The Byron thing was just a fucking joke. Not actually going to Byron next week. Maybe I will when we're out of lockdown. The joke was that I can leave Sydney. That was a fucking joke. Do I have to explain it? You commenting, Byron's in lockdown. Okay. I'm still in Bondi for at least the next 5 weeks. You didn't do anything there. Honestly, I'm just feeling a bit triggered. Back to Bachelor days. So I'm just probably going to have tomorrow, the weekend off. People are fucking psycho. I'm sorry that you're wrong and I'm sorry you don't have a personality. But no need to get angry at me. But seriously though, I think I'm going to try and just have tomorrow at least off Instagram because I'm getting really triggered. Yeah, there's just a lot of threats of violence. And it's funny because it's like about a fucking jumpsuit and me having sex. But yeah, so probably talk to you guys in a day or two.
This was really difficult to watch because Abby is such a strong person online and you always think that the comments don't bother her. But I think what a lot of people forget is this is a young woman at the other end who was receiving this outpouring of hate and she copped it so much on The Bachelor and now she's copying it purely for spreading vital health information. And I just think this isn't on. Abby Chatfield isn't the only influencer who has been outing anti-vax trolls. So last week, Olivia Rogers shared a screenshot on her Insta story of a disgusting message she received from a troll. So the troll wrote, she's definitely spending her big pharma paycheck on a boob job looking at those tiny mozzie bites. Olivia wrote on the screenshot a comment, I'm sick of protecting these vile people and their vile comments, posting from the safety of their home with zero consequences for their comments. Since when did someone's opinion on medicine and science give you reason to comment or shame their body? Disgraceful. Also, for the thousandth time, no one here in Australia is getting paid to share their experience with the vaccine. I certainly didn't receive any payment. I just support public health.
The most fucked part of this was that this troll was sharing the abusive comments on their dog's page. And this person has actually been sending us awful comments in their dog's name as well. And I really think that at the moment, we're reaching a point where I have no issue with resharing the names of people who choose to be vile like this online. As Olivia said, these people think that they can face no consequences and sit behind a computer screen and say what they like about people. Well, and people have had enough of it.
Well, the craziest thing was a lot of the names that Abby was sharing, if you clicked on their profiles, it said that they were, you know, all for happiness and love and they were all mothers. And that's
what they're the most cruel ones sometimes.
We've got a lot of mother anti-vaxxers who have been abusing us as well. And they just seem to be abusing anybody who shows any pro-vaccine stance.
Do you know what is really interesting though? The fact that Olivia Rogers did confirm that influencers aren't being paid to talk about the vaccine. Because if you remember a couple of months ago, we did an episode about how the NHS had enlisted the help of influencers from the UK. And I do think it's a really good move that the Australian government presumably hasn't paid people to speak about it, because I do think that people then do question the validity of their statements.
It feels like in the UK, people aren't as hesitant and negative about the vaccine. And I'm wondering if we're having this hesitancy in Australia because we've had to wait longer before we get it. So there's been time for people to start fear-mongering and people to spread these anti-vax messages. Because I feel like if I was an Australian influencer, I would not be wanting to put my hand up to get paid to promote this, considering the backlash people have been getting just for doing it off their own goodwill.
Despite the fact that there are a lot of nasty troll messages coming through, quite interestingly, if you take a look at Social Blade, Abby Chatfield's following has really grown since she has started speaking about her pro-vaccine stance. In the last last 30 days, she gained 22,500 followers. So currently she has 318,000 followers. And Olivia's following has also continued to grow. She has gained 1,800 followers in the last 30 days with a total of 171,000.
So what do you guys make of the trolls who've come out and said that they're now experiencing bullying and death threats because Abby shared their comments?
Well, I think it's highly hypocritical because they are the ones sending death threats and threatening behavior and trolling comments. So if you're happy to dish it out, then you should be happy to receive it. I mean, why send something to an influencer? I mean, firstly, I don't understand why people feel the need to send disgusting comments like that anyway. But if you're going to, why send it from your own name? Like, I can't believe the people that send them in business accounts and with all their family photos on it.
Yeah, it is crazy. I normally don't think it's right for a bigger account to call out a little account to send hate their way. But in this instance, I think something does need to be done. And I think that both Abby and Olivia certainly did the right thing.
I think people just have to look at the situation with a level head. In a situation like this where people are giving death threats, yes, call the person out. That person also has the ability to change their handle and username and then be anonymous yet again. But these famous faces don't have that ability.
As we pointed out, though, these trolls just keep repeating the same behavior because we have been abused by some of these accounts and they clearly go around to different platforms that are pro-vaccine and abuse the same people. So it's great that they've been called out.
My name is Sophie and I'm a mum of four based on the Gold Coast.
Influencer Sophie Gwydolyn has opened up about the difficulties of dating in the public eye after she says she was stalked and harassed by the tabloids during her fleeting romance with Math's Jake Edward. The 32-year-old admits to feeling bullied into opening up about her new budding romance. So to kick us off, Soph, who is Sophie Gwydolyn?
Well, I actually did a story about Sophie back when I was working at Today Tonight after she gave birth to her twins. And at the time, she was being heavily mum-shamed online for working out during her pregnancy and appearing to bounce back too soon after having her kids. So Sophie is a nutritionist, author, fitness model, and a podcaster and has attracted over 500,000 followers on Instagram. And many people don't know this, but she actually grew up as a Jehovah's Witness and got married at a very young age. Her son is now 13, which is quite amazing because she's 32. I feel like she would be such a cool mum.
Yeah, I got such a shock when I was looking at her profile the other day and I saw a picture of her and her son and I was sort of trying to work out what the relationship was between them and I'm like, oh, that's her son.
Yeah, well, she's got four kids. So she's got Kai, who's 13, Ryder, who's younger, and then twin daughters, Evie and Aria. And I have to say, I didn't really follow her before, but there is something that's really likable about her.
Well, earlier this month, Sophie opened up on Courtney Magnan's podcast, She Was the Fire, about her new man and just how difficult it is dating in the public eye. So, Sophie, what did she say?
Well, in June, Sophie says that she was stalked and harassed by the tabloids when they got wind that she was dating Jake from Married at First Sight. So she said that she literally went on one coffee date with Jake. And then within a couple of hours, it was plastered all over the internet. She went home and there were literally a ton of paparazzi waiting out the front of her house. It sounded insane.
It's crazy to think that somebody from Maths would get so much attention because you kind of forget later in the year just how popular that show is.
Well, the relationship seemed to move really quickly with Sophie admitting on her own podcast that Jake had surprised her by getting his name tattooed on his stomach. Sophie, though, has been criticized by followers for sharing her relationships online in the very early stages, and I feel she did a good job of explaining why she has done that.
Yeah, well, she said that quite often she feels bullied into making these announcements as though she's got to take control of the narrative, and she said that she would rather be in control of announcing to her followers who she's dating rather than have a tabloid dig up all this dirt on the person, reveal it before she can say anything and sort of set the narrative for her.
Well, there's been this real narrative online as well that she's some kind of man eater. And I heard her mention this in Courtney's podcast. And what's really humorous is that she actually admitted that she's only really had two or three boyfriends in her whole life, but they've created this narrative online that she's just dating everybody.
Well, she said that she also wanted to start posting about the early stages of her relationships because she wanted to normalize dating, which I really like because especially for women in their 30s, we don't generally see people going out on dates and, you know, seeing those new people in their lives. So I quite like the fact that she does it. Obviously, it does open her up to criticism and people then have judgments on the relationship. Mm. But it's really sad because Sophie said that when this relationship ended with Jake, she was so overwhelmed by the inaccurate reporting that was going on about the breakup that she was actually diagnosed with PTSD.
Oh my
gosh. So she couldn't even leave her house for 8 days. She said she had continual nightmares. It got so bad that her family had to fly over from Adelaide to come and look after her, that she was in such a state. And I think that's really a side of influencers that we don't see. We see all these articles about them, but we don't really know what's going on in their lives and how they're dealing with those things being written about them.
Even for the reality TV stars to think that they have such scrutiny on them by the media, because every facet of their life when they're on television is picked over. So it's obviously extremely stressful for them and anyone connected to them.
And that's why I think it was particularly hard for Sophie to open up about this new man in her life. Now, he is called Hayden. He's this ripped blonde guy from the Gold Coast. And she said that she felt...
Just a typical Gold Coast person.
Yeah, and she said that she felt the pressure to go public with the relationship news because, again, she wanted to control the narrative. And she said that she and Hayden would go for 10K runs at Burley, and she kept being paranoid because she'd see people staring back at them. And she had this fear that, you know, it would be in the Daily Telegraph the next day. So she announced quite soon into their relationship that they were dating. Now, this was only 2 months after she announced her breakup with Jake. So obviously the Daily Mail had a field day with it.
Well, you can see why she would want to put out to the public that she's happy and has moved on, because it was quite a tumultuous relationship ending for her and Jake. And it got so much media attention. So it seems normal to want to promote the fact that you're in a happy relationship.
I do love that she was paranoid about people staring at her. And it's probably like 90% of people were probably thinking, who are these two hot people running on the beach? And the other 10% were probably some of her followers.
The thing that's really sad, though, is that the Daily Telegraph named what Hayden's job is. And out of courtesy, we're not going to say what this job is, because it is one that he would like to keep private. And yeah, this seemed to cause a bit of an issue in their relationship. She said that he's a very private person and this is a massive con for him, the fact that their relationship is so out in the public. And on Thursday, Sophie did actually take to her Instagram to ask followers to stop messaging her about Hayden. So it seems like something has happened. So this is what she said.
I love that you guys have my back, but if you are sending me messages in regards to other people's behavior or actions, or feel like somebody might be out there disrespecting me or whatever it might look like, you do not need to send me any information, because I'm well aware and I'm not playing into it.
I feel so sorry for her. It must be so difficult to be having to deal with things like this publicly. I mean, I know we've spoken a lot about how influencers put their love life online and they've got to deal with the consequences, but I do appreciate her opening up and actually being very raw about this situation and being like, look, just do not message me, because if there's something so human about that. Everyone can relate to being in a relationship and having them people tell them shit about what's going on with their partner and what they've been doing.
Now, as we touched on with Mitch, I feel like when some sort of relationship issues happen, people do seem to go and try and find a quote to reflect how they're feeling about it. What I loved about Sophie is instead of just finding an old quote on Instagram, she ended up writing a quote on her apartment window. So her apartment
she does that a lot. So I think she does that every morning for her daughters, and she does it in lipstick, on the glass.
Well, that would be hard to clean each day.
Yeah, well, she's got she's got this incredible view of the ocean. Anyway, so the quote said, "Energy doesn't lie, people do." Ooh. She then followed it up with another quote that said, "If you don't heal what hurt you, you will bleed on those who didn't cut you." Now, that one was interesting because I was wondering if it was in reference to Jake initially hurting her and then her taking some insecurities into the new romance. I guess only time will tell, but I do really hope that things work out for her, because she does seem like a really lovely person.
You guys know I always make jokes about like hashtag MILF life, and I say like, my number one goal in life is to be a mum. I'm actually shaking. I feel sick.
I feel like a little bit of an idiot, because on Friday's show, I put it out there and said, I think that Sarah's Day is having a girl, because there were some references to the girls, and there was a pink opening of the announcement video. However, she really did the dirty on us, because she went on Thursday, and we'd recorded on Wednesday night, posting all of these photos on her grid, and they all seem to be related to the fact that she's having a baby boy.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how many posts she put out. A lot of people were saying, oh my gosh, did her scheduling app just stuff up on that day and just release like 2 weeks worth of posts?
Well, they were all a very blue, pretty aesthetic. Mm. Obviously, as you say, Kate, referencing the fact that she may be having a boy. One of my personal favorite photos, though, happened to be of grapefruit in front of a beautiful pool. And in the caption, she said that when she was pregnant with Fox, she had a lot of cravings for mangoes. And it just made me laugh.
I pointed that out to you, Sophie. You did not even
tweet.
No,
it was peaches.
Yeah, peaches.
Oh, peaches. Yeah. Oh, I've stuffed it up.
Well, I actually think that she's put the blue out there because so many people think that it's a girl. Because Kurt kept saying, yeah, the girls, I feel like she's put it out to sort of throw people off the scent.
Yeah, but one of them, there was a picture of palm trees with like blue sky. And she wrote, when I was just a little girl, I told my friends and family, mark my words, I was made to be a boy mum.
So one follower, as you suggested, Amy, did comment under Sarah's post and said, is there some sort of glitch happening with your scheduling app? And she replied, just having a fun vibe, and then did all these different blue emojis. Now, I don't know. I feel like she's having a lot of fun with people. I feel like there might be a point over the weekend, because we are recording this on a Friday, where she might start doing a pink grid as well. Because I just don't think – I think that if she's going to announce it, she's got to do it big. She's got to draw people.
Yeah, I don't think she's just going to announce it by putting up a couple of blue posts at all.
Then again, maybe she is doing it because there has been criticism over her monetizing these announcements. Maybe she thinks this is a nice way to get everyone involved.
It's definitely a way to get everybody talking and everybody commenting. I do, however, think that if any other person who wasn't an influencer, like say someone in my feed started posting 20 photos a day, I honestly feel like it's a deletable offense.
It's a cardinal sin when it comes to Instagram.
Yeah, can you imagine if I just posted 20 photos? I feel like so many people would unfollow me. I wonder if Sarah has had a lot of unfollows due to that.
No, I think people are absolutely lapping up her content at the moment. People go crazy about babies. She has also addressed this twin rumor that's happening. She wrote also, I have no idea where this twinspiracy came from. I can confirm there is definitely only one baby in my belly.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Outspoken.
And if you have enjoyed today's episode, could you please make sure you are subscribed on Spotify and Apple Podcasts? Also, I love it when people share Insta stories of where they're listening to the podcast. It always makes my day. And please, if you can, it sounds like I'm begging now, please share our podcast with a friend.
Yeah, definitely. And if you are someone who does love listening to the podcast and you haven't already, please go and leave us a 5-star review and comment, because we do really appreciate the support.
Particularly when we might have put a red flag up to some more anti-vaxxers this episode.